Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this episode, we'll be looking back at the 2-0 victory for Fulham against Derby County at Craven Cottage, which was the second leg of the semi-final playoffs between these two teams, and the scoreline sends Fulham through to Wembley. I cannot wait to talk about this match, but before I do anything, I have to welcome both my co-hosts to the show. First, Mr. Cohen, how are you doing? I know it's been a little bit. Are you excited to talk about this?
Russ, I'm simply delighted. One of the best moments I've experienced as a Fulham fan. I cannot wait to be in London. I was going to say earlier, I can't wait to be at Wembley, but honestly, my tickets have not been sorted yet. I'll be up early Saturday morning, but I'm just delighted to be there. Hopefully, I'll get tickets. And the fact that Fulham are at Wembley is a special time.
Okay, very good there. Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing there, my friend? You must be in great spirits right now with Fulham.
Yeah, I am. It's, you know, I was there in 75 with my dad when we lost to West Ham. And I remember how I got, the run to the cup final was just incredible. But I was, you know, gutted that we lost that final. But it's, you know, I didn't really think in my lifetime we'd ever go back to Wembley. And last 48 hours has been a bit of a scramble to try and see if there was a chance I could fly over. And it's not going to work. But I'm chomping at the bit. I'm excited that we've got Villa. I think it's a good matchup.
I do
and
too.
I think it's for a number of individuals. With your permission, I'd like to mention them because I know apart from one who's no longer alive, I know that there would have been some vindication in terms of what happened up over Derby because of what happened back in 1983. And the people I want to mention, the late Roger Brown, Dean Coney, Gordon Davis, Tony Gale, Jeff Hopkins, Ray Houghton, our old boss Ray Lewington, Kevin Locke, Sean O'Driscoll, Paul Parker, Jerry Payton, Lira Rossini, Dale Tempest and Robert Wilson. And our manager was Malcolm McDonald. Because in that fateful day back in 1983 when we got jobbed because of a Derby County pitch invasion, and I was at that game, it was just absolutely disgraceful. So it took a long time to get that revenge. And so, you know, it's best, revenge is best served cold. And it was a momentous night, Monday night. There's so much that happened and it's fantastic. What a fantastic moment for the club. And I think there are going to be, apart from the Brent fodder, ha-ha, and Villa fans, I think most fans in the division will want us to get promoted next weekend. I really do. And let's hope we can finish the job.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that both of you said this, and I agree with you, that we all thought the best matchup for Fulham was Aston Villa. And I still stand by that. And I look forward to breaking that down as we get closer to the match. We won't be doing that on this show. But let's just say I'm happy that it's Aston Villa. It's a one-off. It's just one match for promotion, and we'll see what happens. But I do like Fulham's chances, and I do like the matchup against Villa. So I'll just leave that there, and we'll get more into Aston Villa on another show. But let's get right into the last match, guys. And I can just tell you the emotions were running for me crazily when the final whistle blew. It was such a big deal. And to see the fans react the way that they did, it was wonderful to watch. In fact, the broadcast that I had kept going for a good 5 to 7 minutes. So I got to see Dennis Odoi and Marcus Bettinelli in the middle of everything, and it was wonderful to watch, and it was emotional to watch because this is a big deal going to Wembley. Not all clubs understand that, and their fans don't understand that. I just want to mention that because it ticked me off because I've had to block some people because they don't understand how much this meant to the Fulham supporters. It means a great deal. So I love the celebration. I just want to mention that. Giannis, I'm going to start with you. Just your opening thoughts on this match, my friend, and what was going through your mind when the whistle blew?
Well, if you look back 72 hours to the game at Pride Park on Friday night, I mean, Max is obviously online now, so the three of us will have seen some of the most ridiculous nonsense on social media as a reaction. I mean, I had everything from, you know, what a disgrace, what an embarrassment, to fire Slavisa. and, you know, it was, I blocked a lot of people after the Birmingham City game, and I blocked more after the first leg. And frankly, those fans embarrassed me, and I got castigated for telling people to shut up. The problem is this. For those of us who were alive way back when, And I'm not talking about the FA Cup final. I'm talking about in the 80s when we were God bloody terrible. We were an awful club with no fans and no prospects. We almost merged, obviously, in the 80s. We were almost bankrupt. And I've never lost the faith. And on the basis of the first leg on Friday, we played well. Russ, they scored a good goal. It was a nice goal by Cameron Jerome, but we created enough, especially in the second half, to suggest if the fans were the 12th man, you know, Scott Carson wasn't going to go carry on playing like Dino's off forever. And, you know, to get the goals that we did and the way we did, we had to do something special to unlock them. I mean, they defended very well. But having said that, to do it in front of our fans, to have that pitch invasion, that's a moment that, few of us will ever forget. And it was wonderful for the club. And, you know, I thought of my old man, because if he'd been alive, he'd have absolutely loved it.
Right.
And it was memorable. It'd be great if we could finish it off. And I think a club like Fulham is good for the Premier League, because it's not always about the size. It's sometimes you've got the community clubs, the small clubs like Bournemouth, and I'm going to use Watford as an example, that don't have the biggest crowds, don't have the biggest infrastructure, but they're respected. And so I'm still on a little bit of cloud nine. I'm very, very excited for what's going to come. And I feel certain we're going to win. And it's wonderful for all the fans. I just wish some of the fans would just get a grain of perspective in terms of what Slavic has done and what the players have done. And, you know, just have a bit more realism. A lot of our fans, Russ, sounded like Arsenal fans or Chelsea fans. And we've never been like that as a club. And that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, some of our audience, I should say, maybe a good, decent part of our audience won't understand the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry in Major League Baseball over here.
Yeah.
And as a Red Sox fan, in 2004, the Red Sox beat the Yankees. And it was all about beating the Yankees and then obviously getting to the World Series. That's what this was like for me with the Fulham match on Monday. Because it was about beating the Yankees, getting past them. And this was about getting to Wembley. That was the connection I made. And how much it meant to everyone at Craven Cottage and fans around the world. And I just want to say they were the 12th man. That was the one thing that stood out to me. I'm glad that you said that. And while watching it, I'm just thinking, this is special. I'm trying to think of, make comparisons for myself. And that was the comparison that came to me. There was one more step, and that was to win the World Series. There is another step for Fulham, and that's to gain promotion. Well, the Red Sox were able to win the World Series. Hopefully Fulham will be able to gain promotion and win the final, and we shall see. But it was a special moment back then for the Red Sox. This is a special moment for the Fulham supporters, and they deserve their moment to celebrate the way that they did on the pitch. I loved it, and anyone that criticizes it, they can go wherever they want, because I don't care about them.
Exactly.
Max, over to you, my friend. I want to get your thoughts. And also, Giannis just brought this up, and I want to talk about it. Listen, we're all here. Giannis is in Canada. We're here in the United States. But you can tell when a crowd is beyond into it. And this crowd, to me, was the 12th man. Watching it, they were willing for him to get those goals. So I can't give the Fulham supporters enough credit, because they deserve a lot of credit. They can be a difference, and they showed it. They've showed it time and time again, and they definitely showed it Monday night. I want to get your thoughts on the crowd, but also I just want to get your opening thoughts on this huge win that sends Fulham to Wembley.
Yeah, without a doubt, one of my best moments ever supporting Fulham. I really never thought I'd see a day like this when my favorite club would reach Wembley, would reach the playoff final in these scenes. And I don't think any of us will ever forget the scenes at come full time when Dennis Odoi was being carried off on the shoulders of the fans. Marcus Bednelli was waving a flag. Exactly. It was the stuff of fairy tales. And I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever celebrated a goal more than I celebrated Ryan Sessegnon's goal. Because I knew as soon as we got that first goal, it would be game over. As soon as we got that breaking point, we finally broke through the Derby defense, we'd make it, and it would just be written in the stars that we'd get that second goal. That was one of the best moments I've had in a long time, celebrating that Ryan Sessegnon goal. And finally seeing, you know, this club, the moment when full-time whistle went, it was a moment of such joy that was really shared by everyone around the team. And I'm still feeling, you know, the high of this win on some days afterwards. And I think it's going to continue all the way until May 26th.
Yes.
We've seen this feeling of goodwill around the club. People are finally recognizing that after a tough 4 years in the championship, we're going to be back We hope to be back where we belong in the Premier League. And it's people enjoying the journey. Everyone's coming out, you know, the woodwork to try to get to Wembley. Everyone's helping each other get tickets, I've seen even today. And
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Max. Go ahead, because I've seen that so much. Fans helping other fans.
Exactly, because it's the feeling of goodwill around the club that, you know, we are a family club. We want to get everyone there that can possibly be there on May 26th. And it's a beautiful feeling. I'm just so lucky to be a part of this. And again, I'm a member of Fulham, not season ticket holders for this year, next year. Unfortunately, I hope come Saturday morning there'll be some left for me because I will be in London there regardless. So just praying I can be there. And for all those who can't be there, we'll be cheering for them, and they know they'll be represented.
Well, I hope you and your family do get tickets there, my friend. You deserve to be there, and hopefully it will work out for you. All right, guys, let's get into this. We're going to break down both halves. But before we do, let's talk about the one decision in the starting 11 that we've talked about. I've mentioned that I wanted to see Abubakar Kamara starting, Giannis. He started. Your thoughts when you saw that?
Well, I predicted a few changes, but, I'm going to sound like a broken record. I'm not a fan of Floyd Ayita, you know that. And Bubu, you know, he can look awkward, but his work rate can never be questioned. And
Absolutely.
And I said in the pregame, I felt that his inclusion in the lineup would be huge for the crowd. I said that, you know, the fans love him, and you stick him in there, and suddenly you inject him. You just inject a little bit more volume, and it was the presence piece for me. And I mean, I talked about maybe Odoi giving way to Callas, you know, Fredericks for Christie, but Bubu was going to be the key in terms of you. The others you knew were going to be ready and able, and you know that the best way to react to defeat is to get back on the horse. And that's the good thing about the way it works out. 72 hours, not too much time to think. Bubu made a big difference, and he worked very, very hard. The only unfortunate blot on his copybook was that dive, and it was. I'm not going to defend that, but he did his job. And I think, and I would be shocked if he doesn't start in the final. I don't see any reason why Slava can't now start him in the final. Because he's going to give them, they're not the quickest back four, and he should give them absolute nightmares at the back.
I totally agree.
Mitra is bad enough to sort out. Sessegnon with his pace, Terry and Hutton are not going to know what's hitting them. So, Bubu will be ready, but I was very pleased to see his inclusion.
Yeah, he gives Fulham a different option, power and pace that other teams haven't seen on that side from Fulham, because the other players that have played on that don't offer these two skill sets together, that pace and that power, and that's what he gives you. And he might not be the finished article, but like you said, it's his work rate, his attitude, it's infectious, and I think it does affect the crowd. I think it affects his teammates. I think it's all positive when he plays, except for the one thing. I'm glad that you mentioned that, Giannis, because I am not a fan of divers, and I wish he didn't do that, and hopefully in the future he will not do that. We have to, if we're going to talk about all the good things, we have to talk about that. He shouldn't dive, and he did do that. I've seen so many views of it. He definitely dived, and Bubakar, if you do listen to this podcast, please don't do that next time. I'm not a fan of that, and you're better than that. You can be a very good player for Fulham Football Club, but please don't dive. All right. Over to you, Max. Your thoughts about the inclusion of Abubakar Kamara? I think it played out great. I thought he played fairly well, except, like I said, the one issue, we put that aside. Your thoughts on the inclusion of Kamara in this match?
Yeah, I think we all said it in the preview to this match that he needed to start. And the way he played, I think, exceeded all of our expectations. The remarkable thing about his performance, which I thought was simply excellent, was the last time that he started a match was back against Middlesbrough, back in January 13th. That's the last time he played more than 55 minutes for Fulham. He'd come in against Sunderland for 50 minutes. He'd played the half against Birmingham, but he hadn't started a match in over 4 months. And to produce a performance like he did on Monday night, from not having that experience coming off, you know, starting from the off was superb. He was, I think, our brightest attacking player for much of the match. He won the corner that set up Dennis Adoy's goal. He offered, as you guys mentioned, the pace and the power. And I was so pleased for him because it's a culmination of a season that started out very disappointingly. He came in as a player who we all thought would be talented, but he was really raw. He couldn't finish. He lacked end product. And now to where he is today at the end of the season, he's one of our most important attackers, I think. And the combination between the front three of Mitro, Cesc, and Kamara, I think we finally might have found our best front three at the perfect time. I think they were excellent together.
It's an interesting combination that I think gives teams trouble. And I think they will give Aston Villa a lot of trouble if it goes that way.
Yeah, and you guys mentioned Villa does not have the quickest back four. And a lot of things have been said on Twitter about imagine the combination of Kamara running up against Alan Hudden. And I can only dream of that matchup because I think that'd be a clear winner for our French attacker.
Okay, excellent there. All right, guys, let's go through the first half. I'm going to stop at one key moment, but I'll just talk about some other moments in the first half. Fulham were definitely on the front foot, and we have to start off with the opportunity from Ryan Sessegnon on a shot in the 8th minute, which was set up by Abubakar Kamara. A little later on, you have the shot by Johansson in the 25th minute. That's followed up a few minutes later with a header from Mitrovic. And then in the 36th minute, you have an opportunity for Mitrovic that goes wide. And then in the 41st minute, you have the shot by Kamara. The opportunity from Mitrovic was a very good opportunity. I thought he scored there. I want to go back and just mention that. And a little bit later on in the 43rd minute, you have the shot by Fredericks. And now I want to stop here, guys. And Giannis, I want to get your thoughts here, because I've talked about all these opportunities Fulham had in the first half. It all leads up to the header from Mitrovic. That save by Carson set up with a great cross from Matt Target. Let's stop here because I was disappointed that Carson made a great save here, okay? But everything leading up to this told me in my heart that we were going to get the goals because of the play in the first half, all leading up. That's why I want to stop and talk about the opportunity for Mitrovic. I want to get your thoughts on that. And then also my commentary here that I had a feeling that things were going to come our way.
If we hadn't got through on Monday night, I think that we'd look back on that chance. You'd think that 9 times out of 10, he finishes that. And he's put it in the one place where Carson had the chance to save it. He saved it off his forearm. It's a brilliant save. And let's not forget the save he made off Fredericks.
Yes.
That's just gone over that. But another brilliant save. Carson saved their bacon.
He did.
He was absolutely outstanding.
He totally did.
Mitro will look back and go, well, I should have finished that. But things like in life happen for a reason. Has he not finished that because he's going to get a bigger one a week on Saturday? And really, but for Carson, they're not in the game. I had a feeling, the thing is, if you look at Friday's stats, it's not like we didn't create chances. It's not like last night's Dave Barkle, where Middlesbrough didn't get a shot on target. If you're creating chances, you got a chance.
Absolutely.
And Borough obviously didn't do that last night, but we did on Friday night, and that's why I always thought there were going to be chances in this. It was a brilliant save. It was a reflex save. But Mitro, I'm sure, will be the first to admit that it's one he should have stuck in the back of the net.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. I'm going to go right back to you, and then I'm going to go to Max. I want to talk about the situation right after that. Was that a foul on Mitrovic in the box? Should that have been a call to go Fulham's way there? I'm curious your thoughts on it. I've watched it a bunch of times, so your thoughts on that?
To me, it's a penalty, but I can understand why he didn't give it. Because it's such a big game, there are certain calls, you know, it's certain. Do you make certain calls in games that big? I think I know it's going to sound odd, but in the regular season, does the ref call that? Yeah, he's pulled him. But in a game like this, I'd have given the penalty, but I understood why he didn't. I think it was a brave call because it's in front of, you know, the 23,000 rabid fans.
That's right.
But, again, it's one of those, a bit like last night with the handball.
Yep.
You know, the referee, I'm always a believer that the referee should be consistent whatever game it is, whenever. You know,
throughout the game.
But when the referee becomes the object of attention, that's when games lose the plot. And I would, I'd have called it, but sure. I do understand why he didn't do it, simply because a lot of refs do that in games this big. They just they're scared to make that call. They're scared to be the goat that made the call. So it was unfortunate for us, but for me it was a penalty.
Okay. Excellent. All right, Max, over to you. Just want to get your thoughts. Feel free to share your thoughts if you want on what Giannis and I were just talking about, and also the save by Carson on Mitrovic. But I just want to get your overall view of the first half, because I felt very confident going into the second half. I know that's strange to say considering they did not score, but I felt that the goal or potentially goals were coming because of the way they played. So give me your view of the first half for Fulham.
At times, it really felt that it wouldn't be our day, that I almost felt kind of a doubt creeping into my mind that said, it's just going to be 0-0. We're not going to break them down, because we didn't start out as well as I think we could have. We didn't quite click into full gear until around 15 minutes to go until the half. But when we did, it was a pretty big onslaught. You know, Fredericks, you mentioned, had that chance. Mitrovic had, aside from the header, had a chance when he turned Curtis Davies and fired just wide. And Carson's save was the cherry on top. I mean, as you guys mentioned, 9 times out of 10, that's in the back of the net. And the fact that Carson made that save, I almost thought, it's just not going to be our day at times. And then with regards to the penalty decision, that's a poor call from me. Anywhere else on the pitch, that's a foul. And I don't understand why referees don't have the bottle to say, you miss, and that's a penalty. I mean, he clearly pulled him back. Craig Forsyth, that's a clear foul. And he went to ground. You can't say that the referee didn't spot it. It was pretty clear. I think the assistant has to flag there. But luckily, you know, it wasn't a bigger storyline because we got the 2 second-half goals. So I'm glad it didn't come back to bite us. But I think the referee has to step up and say that's a penalty.
Okay, excellent there. Yeah, that's your overall assessment of the first half. And the one thing that I do want to mention, again, I do want to give credit to Derby County, because I thought they were dangerous on the counter, but they just, again, something was missing with their play. All their players were just not in sync to take advantage of us on the counter. But they looked dangerous, but that it didn't hurt us for whatever reason. And I think Fulham have a major part in that, because I think defensively they figured it out when they needed to. But I want to give them some credit because they did look dangerous. It just didn't work out for them. But I want to get your overall assessment of the first half for Fulham.
I thought we were very good in the first half, but I thought we were pretty good in the second half on Friday. I thought, you know, we had a lot of territory.
You thought it all just basically continued?
Yes, yeah, I did. And I thought, it was just a case of the momentum. How long were they going to be able to defend like this? And I watched the post-match interview with Gary Rowett.
So did I.
This game, and he talked about where he felt they let themselves down was the lack of incision in terms of passing, that there really wasn't, it wasn't quick enough. And right. It was just sort of a bit of an oxymoron considering some of the players, like, you know, Tom Huddleston's not exactly the quickest release of a ball in the world. They don't really have the pace in terms of passing really that can slice teams open. Really, they rely on set pieces and, you know, crosses.
I thought it was pretty critical on his own team.
Yeah, I thought it was too. And, well, you know, if you look at both goals, I mean, it's two bits of quality. And the second goal Derby fans have been upset about, because it's eerily similar to the goal that Danny Murphy scored in LA down at Fratton Park that saved us from relegation. You know, Danny Murphy's 5'7", Adoy 5'8". Do they have any right to jump that high to get a header off? Probably not. But then, I mean, the game is about moments, isn't it, really? And,
right.
You know, cometh the hour, cometh the man. And he's, you know, he's you know, it just, we looked quicker in terms of our passing. There wasn't too much of passing the ball back. We kept the ball moving quickly. And I think that was where we lacked in the first half on Friday. We improved it in the second half. On Friday, but I thought they were sucking on air. I thought they were, you know, they were really struggling the last 10 minutes, and they were doing a lot of time wasting.
Yep.
But in the end, the cream rises to the top, and I thought we were we were full value in the end in terms of the chances we created and eventually was the goals we scored.
Absolutely, Yanis. And when I look back at it and I saw what Gary Rowan had to say, and I thought he was critical of his team, fair to be critical of your team. You're thinking about what you did wrong. And I wish you give just a little bit more credit to Fulham, but he did, but it was not as emphatic as I thought it should have been, because there's a reason why they looked the way that they did. And I think a good amount of that had to do with how Fulham played. But yeah, he again decided to go off on his own team, which is his right, and look at the things that they did not do. And that's fair. All right, guys, let's now move to the second half. Max, I'm going to give you the honors, my friend, because Fulham get a goal pretty quickly on in the second half. It's from Ryan Session. And how many times have we seen this season from Ryan Session? Right place at the right time. Ball bounces off of the chest of Stefan Johansson right in the path of Ryan Session, and he takes care of the rest. Let's talk about the goal from Fulham early on in the second half.
It's simply top class, and every time we talk about Ryan Session in this way, I tend to run out of words to describe it, because it's just brilliant. The way he creates a space on this goal, that can't be taught. That kind of attribute is something players are born with, and that's why I think he has the ability to go to the very top level of football, because that's just superb. When the ball comes in, whipped in by Target, and just to mention him, I think he had a good match, impressive after his struggles against Birmingham and the first leg against Derby, a really nice ball into Johansson. He chests it down, and as all the defenders and most players, I think, would drift towards the center, towards Johansson, Session has the awareness just to pull off the back of Keogh, and space is created, and once he gets that ball perfectly weighted from Johansson, he still has a lot to do, and that finish again is just superb as well, and smash into the top corner with his left foot bouncing off the half volley. It was just a scintillating goal, and it was a perfect way to calm the nerves, because at the start of the second half, we knew we needed two goals to win it in regular right. time. And I don't think anyone wanted to go to extra time. So we needed two goals. And to get a goal so early on to just suck out all the momentum out of Derby, drop their heads. I said it before, I celebrated this goal more than I think I have ever in my life. It was amazing. I went absolutely mental. Because as I mentioned, I knew as soon as we get that first goal, as soon as we unlocked their defense finally for the first time in over a match and a half, then the rest would just be smooth sailing, I thought.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. And listen, we've seen this from Ryan Session. It's his instincts to just be where he needs to be, and he took advantage of the situation, and he scores the goal. And, Yanis, I'm now going to go to you. Fulham actually had a few other opportunities that lead up to what we're going to talk about, which is the second goal. You've already talked a little bit about it, but let's walk through this. In the 66th minute, you have a corner. It actually starts with a shot from Abubakar Kamara that's blocked, and it leads to the corner. The corner's taken by Ryan Session, who scored the first goal. So he's involved with both goals here. And the header from Dennis Odoi goes in the top corner of the back of the net. And I got to tell you, watching this, I didn't even realize until maybe 2 seconds later that it went in. It was like this delayed reaction, because I could not believe that they had scored the way that they scored. Think about all the goals we've scored this year. This is the goal that puts them through to Wembley, Giannis. That's what's amazing about this. This type of goal off of a corner is what put them through. Your thoughts on the goal?
Well, I mean, it's after the Friday game, reflected, as well as I thought we played second half, I thought that the way that, Davis and Forsyth had played on Friday and Carson, it was going to take something special to unlock them. That, the first goal, the Session goal,
yep.
To me, the brilliance was Stefan Johansson's chest. I thought, the more I've seen that, it's a very good cross by Target.
Yep.
But it was inch perfect chest. It was an absolutely brilliant chest. And now, okay, Sessa's taken it down, one touch, crack. But that chest was just utter quality. And he's hit some bumps recently. He's lost his temper a bit, taken a few cards, and there's question marks about should he even start. And then he comes out and he brings out a piece of brilliance like that. The goal, the Odoi goal. He'll never score a more important header, maybe, in his life. But I venture to say he'll never score a better header, because Carson could do nothing. There's no goalkeeper,
did not move,
living or dead, that could have got that. It was a perfect header. It was a perfect header. It was, and it's one of those headers that you don't see enough of, the flick header. And it was just, it was spinning away, and there was just no way Carson was going to get there. And he was watching it, and to be fair, I mean, some Derby fans have said, well, why didn't he go for it? What chance did he possibly...
He had no chance at that.
He had no chance. And then you realize then when that goal goes in, you think, you know, maybe this is going to be our day. And the thing about after that, it looked to me, although Derby had more possession, they'd lost their will. They didn't, to me, they didn't look like... I mean, Weimann had a chance. Ahead of maybe should have put away, but they really didn't look like they were going to get back into it. It was almost as though they were waiting for things to go wrong. And but that goal by Odoi, you know, I couldn't stop laughing when he was interviewed on Fulham FC TV about where were you running, and he said, I didn't know where I was running. I was just running. I was just running wherever. And it's just it was a stupendous moment, and it was by the unlikeliest of heroes who, let's face it, has also run into a dip in form. And, you know, and even Sessegnon has been very quiet the last few weeks.
Right.
And Target has struggled a little bit, but Target sets up the first goal. Sessegnon scores one, sets up the second goal.
Yep.
You know, Johansson sets up the first goal. Odoi scores the second goal. You know, it wasn't just about Mitro, and it wasn't just about K-Mac, and it wasn't about just about Betts and Ream. You know, sometimes the big games bring out the unlikeliest of heroes. And, that was a wonderful header, and you know, I was in my living room watching, and I was jumping off the ceiling. The cat flew, you know, and it was magical. It was magical because you know, we're going to Wembley.
We are, Giannis, and it's funny. I'm glad that you highlighted these players talking about dip in form, and all these players step up in the biggest spots, and it really is a team effort. That's what makes this team so special to me. This is a true team. Everyone has a role. Dennis Odoi seems like an unlikely hero, but he has a role, and he chips in when he had to in a very difficult situation, and he scores the winner that puts Fulham through to Wembley. It's amazing, but again, it's not just about him. It's like you said, it's not just about Mitrovic, Kearney, and you know, it's about a bunch of other players. It's about a team playing together and finding ways to win. It goes back to that. That's what makes this match so special for me. These two goals, finding ways to score. And again, you know, your work, how hard you work can lead to good situations. That's what you saw here. Kamara's work leads to the corner, and then we score off the corner. Coming out strong in the second half to begin with, you make your own luck. And again, we can call luck. In this situation, this was not luck because, again, like you mentioned, off the chest of Stefan Johansson, that was planned by Johansson to get to Sessegnon, everyone playing a role. That's what, again, was so special about this match. This was a team win that took us to Wembley. That's the way I looked at it. Watching it back, I think I've watched it about four times now. Yes, I'm that crazy. I've watched the match back that many times. All right. Over to you, Max. Let's talk about the later stages in this match and what was going through your mind. Giannis already mentioned the opportunity in the 71st minute by Weimann. It's a header that goes over. That was a little nervy at that point. Then you later on, you have the shot in the 88th minute by Nugent. But beyond that, I thought Fulham were dealing with the pressure because Derby County obviously were having more of the ball, and we were just trying to see this out. And when I saw that it was going to be 6 minutes, I could not believe it. I'm thinking we have to see this out for six more minutes. Talk about the later stages and what was going through your mind in those 6 minutes.
Exact same thing as you. I saw 6 minutes and I thought, oh my, they really want Derby to send this extra time because we'd seen this not really consistently throughout the season, but my mind automatically, as I'm sure you might guys have, it went right to the Brentford match. And I almost could picture in my head, you know, David Nugent
scoring
a late header, running right away to the Putney end and celebrating in front of the Derby fans. I just tried to blot that out of my memory as soon as it came in there. But I mean, honestly, even though the ref gave him copious amounts of time to get back that goal, Fulham wanted to make it nervy, but it wasn't that nervy. You can't point to one chance where it's like, wow, that could have been a goal. The Weimann header, yes, perhaps he could have done better, but it was still a snapshot, as well as the Nugent shot was well off target. Fulham defended really resolutely, and they did not make the same mistakes that they made against Brentford when they sat back way too deep and invited way too much pressure. This was different, and that gives me a lot of confidence, you know, going into the final that, you know, we might have turned a corner where this team is finally hitting its stride. And that was really my main takeaway from the match, is that the 2-0 win, I thought we played exactly how we had to. And that's what made me so confident, because it was the perfect performance. Every single part of this team's performance was exactly what was required, from attack to defense to midfield. And this team, you know, is going to have another chance to really make the season special.
Absolutely there, Max. And Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on the ending stages. Feel free to comment on what Max just shared. I want to get to know what was going through your mind in these final 6 minutes, and also the ending stages that led up to that.
I was thinking, where's the bloody referee from Derbyshire? Where the hell did he get the 6 minutes from? But I, I'm not being arrogant. I didn't think they were going to come back. I thought when the second goal went in, as I said, they seemed to lose the will. They did attack. They huffed and puffed. They didn't really create anything. The Vyman chance notwithstanding, they could have played 26 minutes of injury time. We were going to win that. It was our time. I think they knew that their goose was cooked. You know, the success, you've heard it before, but the success isn't the destination, it's the journey.
Yes.
And, you know, I think of the 23-game journey, and we all thought, you know, believed we'd go up to St. Andrews and get a result, and we didn't, and all credit to Birmingham. And Derby played well in that first leg, but in the end, the cream does rise to the top. And, you know, the Slava and the coaching staff deserve a massive amount of credit. And because they knew that the players would have been disappointed after Friday. It was two defeats on the spin. But they got them ready. Slava said all the right things. And, you know, the thing about being a Fulham fan is you've got to be measured. And that's just been a little disappointing in terms of the number of the fans who, you know, we're all in the same boat in terms of we're very happy we made it through. But some of the garbage that's come out, some of the absolute tripe toilet that's been coming out from so-called fans who are just quick to jump off the horse when any adversity comes, it's comical. And I've said it before, you know, many fans have lived through really, really dark times where we didn't even know if we were going to have a club. And so, you know, I always say the best managers don't get too high when they win, and they don't get too low when they lose. And we've suffered enough heartache for many, many years. So, you know, we enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey. The 23 game was something that will probably never be repeated in my lifetime. But, you know, we finished third by right, and Derby finished sixth by right. And over the two legs, we were a better side, and we've made it to Wembley by right. It is
absolutely
a lottery.
Absolutely, yes. We deserve this.
It's a day. I mean, you're going to be going to London next week, and you're going to have the absolute time of your life. It's going to be a wonderful occasion for everybody. And at the end of the day, the journey is what got us there. The destination is Wembley, but the journey got us there. And if the guys go out and play the way they can and play with confidence with all the fans supporting them, there's no reason why we can't win it.
I totally agree, Giannis. Again, nothing against Aston Villa. We will be talking about that. I'll keep saying that with a lead up to the final, but I like the matchup. I just think that it's our time, and I like the fact that it's at Wembley. The large pitch, I think, benefits us. I think the opponent benefits us because the matchup, I think it's a good matchup, but they have to get it done. And I think we have the players to get it done. They showed me a great deal over these two playoff matches to give me confidence that they can finish the deal. And we shall see at Wembley. All right, guys, let's now quickly go to stats. And I think the stats are revealing. I'll just read them quickly. Possession was 64% to 36% in favor of Fulham. Total shots, 20 to 14 in favor of Fulham. This to me is the glaring stat for me, guys. You might disagree with me, but this is the one that stands out. Shots on target, 10-1. Corners, 9-6 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 20-17 in favor of Fulham. Let's go a little bit further. Attempted passes, 590-322. Passing accuracy, 82% for Fulham and 68% for Derby County. Okay, just a little bit further in. Aerial duels, even at 20 and fouls, Derby had one more at 8-7. Okay, Mr. Janaeus, what do the stats tell you?
Dominance. Much like the first leg, dominance, you know, possession, passing. We've scored the goals. With a better side, they've got some very good players, Derby. Don't get me wrong. You know, you look at their lineup and you go, oh, geez, they do have some quality in there. But Slava and the boys have worked very hard in terms of the right pace to play the game, especially in terms of transition and how you've got to wear teams down. We're a second half team. We know that. So, you know, the stats bear out our domination, not just of Monday's leg, but also Friday's leg as well. And we made it through. Derby supporters will be, you know, as upset as Nottingham Forest supporters will be delirious with delight. But at the same time, they really can't have any complaints because Scott Carson kept them in first game and first half on Monday was absolutely bloody brilliant. It was ridiculous. But we dominated, and I think the final score certainly bore that out.
Okay, excellent. Max, how about you with the full-time stats?
I agree with Giannis completely. Dominance, you know, Derby, they couldn't expect to win this tie by having that little attacking intent. And as soon as I think he took the leading championship's goal scorer, Matej Vidra, out of the starting lineup, that's when he kind of said, listen, we're just going to pack it in, sit back and try to hit you on the counter. And when he played teams like Fulham for 180 minutes, that's just not going to work out. You can't hope to keep us scoreless for that long. And I think Slavisa managed the game well by really seeing it as not two distinct matches, but a full 180-minute match in that he tired them out. He didn't panic. He didn't try to throw everything forward in the first leg, but he knew as soon as it got to latter stages, they'd be exhausted and we dominate. I think the stats really show that perfectly.
Okay, excellent there. All right, guys, just for time's sake, instead of going through Ryan O'Donovan's ratings, I'm just going to ask you for your man of the match, and then we will rate Slavisa because I want to talk about something at the end of the show. So I'm going to start with you, Max. Who's your man of the match?
It's a tough one. There's so many good candidates for this one. The unlikely hero, Dennis Adoy, the superb goal scorer and assister, Ryan Sessegnon. But I'm going to go with Abubakar Kamara because I think he made the difference.
Okay.
His first start in many a month really was the biggest match of the season, and he rose to the occasion, dangerous attacking all match forward. And he did have the dive, which I think is the one blemish, but yes. What I like to focus on for that is the opportunity he created. No other player on the pitch could have gotten that position in the first place to get the ball in his own half and drive all the way up the pitch and dink it over the keeper. And that ingenuity, that pace, that power, that's what I think won the match for us.
Okay. Over to you, Giannis. Who was your man of the match?
Dennis Adoy. Dennis has endured a really tough time of late, and he's made some mistakes, and he was a question mark, and I was one of them that said, you know, maybe we bring Callas in. And in a super game, that header is one, you know, you just, you know, he'll relive it. You know, he'll relive it forever. Just a brilliant goal. It was such a significant moment because it won the tie for us. And there were a lot of heroes on Monday. A lot of heroes. I mean, you know, it is one player in particular I'm happy for is Marcus Bettinelli. I think he, you know how I feel about him as a keeper. And he, you know, to be as patient in the way he did it and just his sheer elation at the end of the game was so telling. And he said such a good season for us. But to me, Adoy had a game. He had a game, and he needed to have a game, and everybody needed to have the game. But he had a game, and that header was just stupendous. And for that, I give him man of the match.
Okay, I'm going to throw this one out there because I think he was important, Giannis. I'm going to say Tim Ream. I think Tim Ream had an excellent match.
Tim Ream was superb. Tim Ream was absolutely superb, and really, that's where it's funny. They do have some international experience, Derby, much like Villa are going to have. But Tim Ream has, you know, this is where actually his American experience, I think, actually benefits him, because in CONCACAF, you know, when they're playing away from home, they have to go to places like, you know, Mexico, Honduras, Costa Rica. And for those, you know, Fulham fans that live over the pond, those fans over there, the fans in CONCACAF are absolutely nuts. They're nuts. What the sort of thing they do is if the US are playing, let's say the US are playing in Panama, the Panamanian fans will find out where the hotel is, and they'll do carnivals and all-night parties outside the hotel rooms. Or outside the hotel the night before the game. They are nutters. Absolutely. And they're so, and I mean that positively, they're so passionate. So he's had to play in, you know, the toughest conditions. You know, CONCACAF isn't easy. And he looked as cool as a cucumber on Monday. Nothing fazed him. Nothing fazed him. And Cameron Jerome was in his pocket. And Jerome, you know, is a decent player. But really, they didn't create a lot. Ream seemed to, his confidence was an infusion, you know, for Adoy. The back four was really solid. Target was excellent. Fredericks was excellent as well. Really should have had a goal. That was a brilliant save by Carson. And that back four looked impregnable. So, but Ream, well, Ream has really led the line, hasn't he? I mean, the whole season he's beaten.
He has. Outstanding. He has. Very good there, my friend. All right, let's go to Savisa. Max, give a rating for Savisa.
10 out of 10. I don't think he could have managed this match any better. He knew exactly what was required in the full 90 minutes. His starting lineup was superb as well. And, you know, the start of Kamara, that's a big decision to make, his first start in many a month. But he got exactly spot on. He resisted the urge to put in Callas maybe for Adoy, and that paid off as Adoy scored the winner. And altogether, I thought the subs came at the right time. Superb, and I think he deserved a 10 out of 10, a perfect rating.
Okay. Over to you, Giannis. Your rating for Savisa.
I'll give him a 10 as well, but a lot of that is to do with what he did between the games, between Friday night and Monday, because he had a massive job. And remember that the seed of doubt would already have been sown in terms of what happened last year against Reading. So, and he's lived through that, and he's got a number of these players that have lived through that. So he and his coaching staff had to do a really big job in terms of getting them mentally ready and getting them mentally prepared. But the advantage of having the second leg at home meant that you knew what you needed to do. And he's obviously gotten ready, because they came out chewing on raw meat, all of them, to a man, gave it everything they had. And the big decision was Boo Boo.
Yep.
But frankly, it's not the sort of game that I'd want Aita to have played in anyway, because Boo Boo is all action all the time. And the energy, he feeds off the energy of the crowd, but the crowd feeds off his energy as well. And sometimes, you know, occasionally you have teams where, you know, you have a player in the lineup because their presence creates a buzz and an aura, and you're not sure, you know, it gives everybody a lift. And I said on in the previous show that if Slava picks Boo Boo, it'll be a huge lift for the crowd, because they wanted him to play. And the volume on Monday was deafening, wasn't it? So, and that, for that reason, I'm convinced he's going to play in the final.
Okay, excellent there. Yeah, so, okay, to wrap up the show, we've talked a little bit about this. Max, you brought this up, how I wanted to finish the show was to talk about Wembley and the excitement for Fulham supporters all over the world. I've been contacted. I can't tell you how many people have contacted me about going to the match, coming from all over the world. And today, tickets went on sale to season ticket holders, and they're doing this in waves, and they're doing it in a system each day, and it's a little bit different for a different season of season ticket holders. And I find it interesting how they're doing it. But one thing that I wanted to mention, and Max, like I talked about, you've already said this, is that you've got Fulham fans helping other Fulham fans. I want to mentioned that Sammy James from the Fulhamish podcast was on top of this today, because I was on a tweet with him talking about trying to help someone out. I've seen it all over Twitter. And that just, again, not that I don't already know this, it's a family club. Fans care about each other. Everyone knows how important it is to get to Wembley. So I just want to talk a little bit about this. And Giannis, I'll go to you, and then Max, I'll end with you because we've already talked a little bit about it. I want to get your thoughts on this because the tickets go on sale, and I've seen all this. And what I really liked about this is everyone caring, everyone trying to help each other out. Your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more. The only sinister side to it, and it's already popped up on Facebook, is those...
I know you're going to talk about it. Go ahead.
Absolute wank jobs out there that go out there and are scalping the tickets for ridiculous... ridiculous
I know. I saw that.
Yeah, and I just... and it makes me absolutely sick. And, you know, I say it with absolute insane jealousy that I can't go next weekend. I mean, but having said that, the fans that go, whatever disagreements I've had with however many fans, I hope they have the time of their lives and I hope they're cheerful and want the victory. But they should be given the opportunity to do that. So that it's a measure of the club that so many people are willing to help so many others on that trip. And I really hope it's an opportunity where the club also reaches out to the alumni. Because, I mean, the players, I mean, Roger Brown's no longer with us. But Gordon Davis is still my favorite, my all-time favorite Fulham player. And get a lot of the players that played back, you know, the Les Strongs, the John Cutbushes, the Viv Busbys, Alan Mullery, obviously Bobby Moore's no longer with us. But get Cohen back. You know, 66 World Cup, get them from the 83, get Malcolm McDonald and the boys back, get all the alumni back, and that will really raise the roof in terms of it's not just the fans and the players, but it's the former players that were part of the glory and, you know, bygone era that can be part of something really, really, really special. And it's going to be a wonderful moment. And, you know, that 83 game against Derby is one that I just... I remember that I drove home that night, and I was in an absolute daze, and I was convinced we were going to get to replay that game because of the pitch invasion, and we weren't.
Right.
And you know, it rankles still to this day, that moment, because we had to wait another 18 years to get the opportunity to get to the top division, and I think it's a measure of how big a game this is and how big an occasion it is for all the fans around the world. So I think it's wonderful. I mean, I know you and Max are going to go, and you know, it's going to be an awesome occasion, and you're going to bump into lots of people. Lots of people that you know are going to come up and da da da, and you're going to have a beer and a laugh, and it's going to be just absolutely immense. And you know, it makes me proud to be a Fulham fan. And you know, I'm sitting in my offices surrounded by Fulham Bears, Billy the Badger, all my jerseys, and I walk in every morning, and I have the honour and the pride to walk into my office, and it's a Fulham shrine. That's what it means to me. And I know that the boys, I know you and Max and the rest of the fans will do us proud. I know the players will do us proud. I know the alumni will do us proud, and the coaches will do us proud. So let's will them on to victory.
Absolutely, Giannis. And as you're talking about this and you're talking about Derby County, you're talking about that whole situation. And I'm thinking again, I'm going back to Red Sox Yankees, thinking of 2003 with Aaron Boone. In 2004, what happens? The Red Sox get their revenge. Okay.
Yeah.
We've now done this. You know, I know people are still upset about that going back, and I understand that. But isn't it rewarding who it comes against that we're now going to Wembley?
Yeah, there are certain definable moments in the history of our club that, you know, that form our opinions. I mean, I don't think we have any animosity against West Ham, even though they beat us in the final. Right. They were the better side. I mean, I remember the game like it was yesterday. They were the better side. Our keeper Peter Mellor had a mare that day, but these things happen. There are certain things that unfortunately won't be forgiven. I think of the, you know, the attack on our fan 20 years ago at Gillingham. I think most Fulham fans won't forgive Gillingham for that forever, even though they're really not local rivals. But the nature of losing a life after a football match should never happen. And there's the local rivalries, of course. But this was one that didn't involve death, but it involved what we thought was blatant, real cheating. And really, the right thing for the Football Association to have done was replayed the game according to the rules of the game. They should have done that, and they didn't do it. And so we got absolutely jobbed with a team that I remember that team. That was a super, super team. Some very, very, very fine players. And I got to tell you, if you put that 83 lineup up against the lineup right now, it'd be a bloody good game. It'd be a bloody good game because we had talent all over the shop, and skill level was so high on that team. But they got pillaged and lost the right to play in the top division just because.
Right.
And that's why I'm going to have some fun in the next week, 10 days, Russ. Going on Facebook and seeing all those Villa fans talking about, we're a big club, we deserve to be in the Premier League, and boom, boom, boom. And yeah, big clubs should be there. Well, you know what? Most fans, neutrals, will be supporting Fulham.
Yeah.
They will want them. A lot of it is because of Villa. A lot of it is because of John Terry, let's be honest. but they're going to want us because we're an inoffensive club.
Right.
We have good fans. We play good footy. We've got an iconic stadium. We've got a nice little history. We've got our own little niche in the southwest corner of London. We're not Chelsea, but we don't want to be Chelsea. And anyway, Chelsea's in Fulham anyway, and we can always tell them that. So it's a great time, and we can wallow in it as pigs in mud. We can wallow in it for the next 10 days until the big game comes, and hopefully for the rest of the close season until we get to play our first Premier League game.
Absolutely. Very good there, Yanis. And listen, I'm glad that you're talking about Derby County. I know several Derby County supporters, and I've already wished them the best and in the future, and I have no issues with them. And but I understand the feelings of the past, and I'm glad that you talked about it. I respect it, and that's why we're talking about it. And I look at this is the team we had to go through to get to where we need to be now. And what goes around comes around in a little bit, you know, and it took a long time. But, you know, I understand why fans look at Derby County the way that they do. And but I look at it this way, you know, I think there's a reason why we're playing them. And now we move on.
Yeah.
Max, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on fans coming from around the world and also fans helping each other out. You mentioned this earlier in the show. What are your thoughts about all this?
It's amazing. We deserve this moment in the limelight. Of course, not a lot of people in our lifetime have seen Fulham at Wembley. Yanis mentioned he was there way back when, and that's a special moment. And it's just an honor that we have another opportunity to play in the birthplace of English football, such a special venue, and soon to be hopefully also Shahid Khan's venue, if all goes to plan. It's a nice kind of symmetry to that. Shahid Khan buys it or applies to buy it a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to be playing it in a couple of weeks' time. And it brings me back to my own personal memories with Wembley. I've been there many a time, actually. From my time living in London, I've seen England play Bulgaria there, England play Switzerland, England play Belgium in a friendly right before the Euro 2012. And I also seen a really special match personally for me was the Olympic final for the women's football back in 2012 when the USA beat Japan. So I've had my fair share of Wembley moments that have been really special to me. And each time you step into that stadium, you realize how special it is. It really is a shrine to football. It's one of the architectural marvels, I think, of stadiums across the world. And it's almost a disbelief that my favorite club is going to be playing in that cathedral in just a couple of weeks' time. And it's going to be a special moment. And I think Fulham fans realize how special it is to be playing at Wembley. And that's why we've really rallied around the cause.
That's right.
You know, it's beautiful. I'm just looking through Twitter. Mike Gregg in particular, I'd like to give a shout out to what he's done for so many fans. He's really galvanizing the Twitter sphere.
Mike has been fantastic.
Fantastic. And I think I might just send a tweet out. Hopefully he'll retweet it because I am a member. I'll wait until Saturday morning to buy the tickets. But as we've already sold over 22,000 today, is there going to be enough come Saturday morning? I'd love to hear what you guys think, what my best way forward is. But either way, I'll be in London, and the atmosphere will be special no matter where I am on that day.
Okay, well, hopefully, Max, that will happen. You'll have an opportunity. You and your family definitely want you to be there. You deserve to be there, just like I'm going to be there. And I hope it all works out, and stay in touch, my friend, and we'll see what happens. I'm just going to end the show just talking about this because, yes, I am going to the match, and it's going to be extremely special for me to go to this. And I'm glad that you talked a little bit about this, Max, going to Wembley. I did go to Wembley to see the New England Patriots play. But it was also a dream of mine to potentially see Fulham there. Now I'm going to get that chance. I know how much it means to people like you, Giannis, getting to Wembley. And this goes back to the pitch invasion. I understand it because it's a big deal. It's so special. The fact that I'm going to get this opportunity to be there means a great deal to me. So many people have reached out to me. I'm going to try to see as many people as I can. And I hope I see you all. I don't know who I'm going to see, but I'm looking forward to seeing as many people as possible. I've had so many reach out. And I look forward to it. This is going to be a special time for me. I cannot wait. But the big thing is that I've been doing this show now for 7+ years. And I feel like it's all leading up to this moment, to this match. I have a good feeling about this. And I'm proud of being a Fulham supporter. And I think that's what I get out of this, meaning that it all comes to this moment, being there with the Fulham supporters. Obviously, I want them to win. I want to be there for this match. And I booked a trip, and I'm going to be there, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to be amongst all the Fulham supporters. I was there back in 2012. I'm so happy I'm going to be there in 2018 at Wembley, and I hope to see as many of you as I possibly can. I cannot wait for this. We all deserve this moment. Giannis, I'm sorry you cannot be there with us, but I'll be thinking about you the entire time. I want you to know that.
Thank you, matey. I'll certainly be there in spirit. I'll certainly be watching on the TV, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm going to see if there's a good buddy of mine, George, who lives in Oakville, which is the town over, and his number plate is FFC1. Yep. And he called me last night, and I think he's going to get the chance to go over with his wife, and I'm delighted. He's absolutely tickled pink because he was at the final with his dad 43 yep. years ago, and he never thought that Fulham would ever go back there. It's such a for all those big clubs, it's like, oh, FA Cup final, yeah, we've been there 4 times over the last 5 years. But for the small, 13 London clubs, but for the small ones like us, it's such a big deal. And
yes,
I'm chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I cannot wait, guys, and I look forward to going there. Max, I hope everything works out for you, and you're there along with me, and I hope you're there, my friend. But listen, fantastic show, great show, guys. But let's wrap this up. For Giannis Chinaias and Max Cohen, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.